My mind has been drawn lately to the Gospel according to Luke, and especially in the fifth chapter. But there's some things that I love about Luke, and I love the detail that he gives. And he tells us about the Lord's ministry beginning in his hometown of Nazareth, where he went to the synagogue and they handed him the book of Isaiah, and he read those wonderful words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Reads them all and ends with this: "This is the acceptable year of the Lord." He hands the book back to the minister and he sets down, and all eyes were fastened upon him. And then he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And the whole house should have been shouting glory, hallelujah. But no one shouted for joy. No one seemed happy. As a matter of fact, they were upset at this. Felt like he had taken on to the Lord and not, he was the carpenter's son. And I believe there's some that were wanting to stone him, but he walked out of their sight. No prophet is without honor save in his own country. Mm-hmm. Interesting, though, that the one acknowledgement he got came not too much later, where he saw a man that was possessed with a devil. And the devil acknowledged him as the Son of God, said, "We know who you are. You've come to torment us." The Lord rebuked that devil and came out. I love what the devil said. That sounds funny, but it's true. I love what the devil said right here. Devil, truth is truth, no matter where he comes from. In Luke chapter 4, it says, verse 34, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Man, that's amen. That's good stuff. And the people were amazed that the devil obeyed his command. They ought to have been amazed at what the devil said, more than anything, in my opinion. But the fame did go out, and he went, and he healed many other people, cast out devils out of many. Those same devils acknowledged him as the Son of God. He healed the mother-in-law of Peter, his wife's mother. In chapter 5, he comes to Lake Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. Sees two ships, one of whom belonging to Peter. He enters into Peter's ship, tells them to cast off a little bit. And there the multitude gathered on the shore, and he preached the gospel to them. That must have been a wonderful, beautiful sight to me. I don't know why, I've just always been struck by that. And then he tells Peter to launch out to the deep and lay his net down for a draught. And Peter said, "Well, we've been toiling all night, but at thy command." And they went and they caught so much fish that the net broke. They had to get helpers to come. The boats were just overrun with fish. And Peter said something to the Lord. And this is found in the eighth verse of the fifth chapter. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Did he speak the truth? Yes, he did. Peter was a sinful man. So am I. So is every one of us. But the Lord didn't depart from Peter. The Lord said, you've caught fish, but henceforth you're going to be a fishers of men. You're going to catch men. They left all. They left their nets. They left everything. And they followed the Lord. Verse 16, "He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Man, wow, what does that mean? Well, it means the Spirit was there, the power of God was there to heal them who? Did the Pharisees and the doctors of law needed healing? Yes, they did. They needed to be healed in their mind, to healed of their pride. They need to be saved from themselves. Maybe others were there, but I tell you this, somebody's about to get healed. When you've got the power of preaching at a meeting, someone's going to preach. When you've got the Spirit there, somebody's going to feel it. You're going to know something is going on that's beyond what we see. The power of God was present at this place to heal them. And behold, something's about to happen. You see that word, behold? Behold, men brought in on a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. This man was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. I don't even know if he could move. But he had some friends. Maybe they were drawn by that spirit of healing. Maybe they were drawn by the love and compassion for this man. Maybe they were relatives of him. They knew that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, not only could heal, has healed. And so they bring this paralyzed man laying in a bed to the place where Jesus was. Verse 19. And when they could not find what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. That man has some good friends. Those are the friends you want. The people that will take care of you and will help you throughout your troubles and afflictions. And you may think, well, sure, if Jesus was here physically, somebody I know and love is sick, I would do all I can to bring them to Jesus. All but you can right now. You sure can. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of the faith shall save the sick. I have told you about this, and I will tell it to you again. But when I was in the hospital with COVID, I was given the bad news that I wasn't getting any better, that they were threatening to put me on a ventilator, and said, we've done everything and you're not getting better. And that wasn't good news. But that night I felt a rush of power. I believe that my brothers and sisters in Christ were breaking the tiles of the roof and were laying me right before Jesus. And that next morning, the doctor came in and said, I don't know what happened. I said, I do. I do. I said, some folks were praying for me. He said, well, that'll do it. He was a believer. I've told you all this before, but it fits. Probably about 25 or 30 years ago, maybe. When Elder Walden was to have, I believe it was a quintuple bypass surgery. But may have been less, I don't know, but I know it was serious. And I went to see him in the hospital the night before his surgery. His surgery was early in the morning. I went to go see him. And it affected me to see my father in the ministry lying in that hospital bed. And I was struck with the realization that I could lose him. And I wasn't ready for that. And after we had spoke, Brother Walden asked me to offer prayer before I left. I said, Brother Bill, I'm going to pray that this operation is a success and that you walk out of this hospital completely healed. He said, no, sir, don't you dare pray that. Don't you dare pray that. He said, you pray the Lord's will be done. I said, I don't care. I still got to I said, I'm selfish. He said, Brother David, it's all right. He says, if I die, I get to go be with the Lord. I get to be with him in heaven. But if I live, I get to go back to Francis and be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't lose. This is a win-win situation. And I thought, how dare you preach to me laying on that hospital bed? I came here to comfort you. And here I'm the one crying and sad, and he's rejoicing. I'll never forget it. Well, of course I prayed the Lord's will be done. I'm not going to do what he said not to do. So I prayed that prayer, and thankfully he lived another 30 years. I got to have him for that time. After my heart attack, Elder Ronald Lawrence called me and wanted to know how I was doing. And I don't like to be the center of attention, and usually I'll use humor as a crutch. And I just said, oh, Brother Ronald, doctor said I was 1 hour away from dying. All I had to do was nothing. I could have been with the Lord. Brother Ronald didn't think that was funny. He got serious. It's amazing how people get serious on you when you're not ready for it. He said, Brother, I'll never forget what he said. He said, Brother David, it had been better for you if you had died. But it's better for us that you didn't. Wow. How could you think that? I believe it. I believe that your prayers brought me right to the feet of the great physician. And I believe the great physician healed me. And 2 days later, I wanted to walk out of the place. I like to say that I did, but they wheeled me out of it. But I got out of there. I didn't hear any of your prayers audibly. Y'all couldn't even come to the room because of the quarantine. How could Brother Walden believe that? How could he say that in the face of a major heart surgery? And how could Elder Lawrence say, yes, it'd been better for you if you had died? Because what's about to happen with the Lord and this man explains it to me. In a way, I rejoice. But we need to be friends like this. We need to be that friend to our pastor, Brother Sonny. We need to carry him before the great physician. He's done it for me. I'll do it for him. It says when the Lord... Verse 20 says, and when he saw their faith, he saw their faith by their works, by what they did. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Again, the house should have started shouting. Jesus told this paralyzed man the best news that man could ever hear. Your sins are forgiven. No matter what happens in this world, if the Lord has committed Himself to you, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. And you ought to know that if you've believed the gospel, that is an evidence to you. You've been healed of the worst disease ever. Your sins are forgiven you. They didn't understand that. I don't know if anybody in the room understood what Jesus just said. But I know some of those people were upset at what Jesus said. It says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Amen to that. I'm amening the Pharisees now. People are saying the truth who ought not to be saying it. The devils believe and tremble. They confessed. He's the Son of God. Here's the Pharisees and the doctors who had set themselves up to be mighty before the people and loved to pray in the street corners to be seen of men. And they're saying, well, nobody but God can forgive sins. That's right. And God's there. And He just forgave sins. Too bad you don't know it. Who can forgive sins but God alone? He who understandeth our thoughts from afar off. The one who knows the thoughts in the intents of the heart. Heard what they were thinking. Understood what they were thinking. And spoke to that. And He said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Now, that scripture has tangled me up for a long, long time. And it wasn't until this week that I think I'm seeing some light on that. I'm not going to say I know it, but I think I'm seeing something. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. What does He mean by that? Why are you thinking this? I kind of look at it like this. Which of these statements, of these two statements, He said is easier to say? Rise up and walk, or thy sins be forgiven thee. I don't understand that. Well, what does the word easy mean? Easier. What does it mean? Well, it can mean simple. That was an easy test. Simple questions. I aced that test. It was easy. Is He saying which is simpler to say? Well, they both got the same amount of words and vowels and consonants. That's not what he means. Which is easier for us to say? Now, let's put it like this. I see this several different ways. If you could do one of these two things, which one of these would be easier for you to do? Somebody brings somebody sick before you. They've got a physical sickness. They've got a spiritual sickness. They're totally depraved, and they can't walk. They can't move. Now, which of those do you think you can heal? I can't heal either of them. I'm not a divine healer, and I'm not the Lord. I can't forgive sins. I cannot pay a sin debt. Which one of those, though, can the Lord do? Well, he can do both of them. Because he is God and can forgive sins. He is the Redeemer who redeems sins. He has no sin. Therefore, he can justify and cleanse us of our sin. He can sanctify us and declare us righteous through his blood. Wash us thoroughly. Pay our sin debt. We stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he can also make the paralyzed rise up and walk. He can make the lepers clean. He can make the dead alive. Which one of those was harder for the Lord to do? You know the hardest thing our Lord Jesus Christ ever did was to save us from our sins. That was a whole lot harder than it was for him to create everything out of nothing. Salvation is the work of his arm. Creation is the work of his fingers. It was nothing. He spake and it was so. But to save you, he had to die. And he had to pay for all our sins to the satisfaction of God. And he had to shed the blood that would satisfy God, and God would see that blood. And only then, my beloved friend, when he knew that his suffering had completed, then he could say, "It is finished," and give up the ghost. But let me put it to you like this. Let me look at it a different way. The word easy can also mean tranquil, free from stress, free from worry. Somebody say, rest easy. I hope you sleep well. I hope you have a good night's sleep. I've heard them say if somebody sick, well, they're resting easy now. Sometimes we hear something and we say, well, my mind is a lot easier now. I don't have that stress. Which one of those statements should mean more to this man? Rise up and walk, or your sins be forgiven? Let me tell you something, my beloved friends. The best news you'll ever get is your sins are forgiven. Right. It does not concern what other troubles you may have. Mm-hmm. What if you were healed of your physical troubles and you're still yet in your sin? Paul would say we are of all men most miserable. There's nothing to look forward to. Our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. Life is a day, is moment after moment of dread and fear. And you think you fear death now? If you're yet in your sins, death would be the absolute worst thing. Because then you begin your torment forever. What good is it to have everything in the world? To have power, popularity, riches, and honor, and yet your sins have not been forgiven? I can't imagine living like that. I'm thankful. I'm so happy. I'm so grateful that I know my sins are forgiven. I know I didn't do it, but I know who did. And I want to glorify that man. Amen. And I want to be at his feet, and I want to hear it again and again. Your sins are forgiven. Tell me again. I need to hear it again. I need to hear it again. John needed to hear it again. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He's facing the end of his life. The Lord said, you show him again. And at the end he said, you tell him this. The poor have the gospel preached to him. There's good news. You don't need to look for another. That's wonderful. You talk about ease. You don't have to look for something that might guarantee your eternal security. Some people say, I'm going to do this just in case. There is no just in case with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know it, then rejoice in it. Live in it. Thank him every day for it and keep coming back to hear it again. And sometimes, my beloved, the Lord is, he's given us the best thing he could ever give us, eternal security with him and the forgiveness of sins. If he gave us nothing else, that's everything. There's nothing better than that. Everything combined is not a bit good as forgiveness of sins. But how good our Lord is to us, friends, that not only did he die and pay for our sin debt, he gives us handfuls of purpose. He gives us a manna from heaven. He blesses us in our life, in our walk here. And he allows us to understand that he is near. And he's a prayer away. And he gives us friends that will lift us up on a bed and go through all kinds of trouble because they love us. You found love. You don't need to look for another. You found the truth. It set you free. You don't need to look for another. You found fellowship. You don't need it. You don't need it anywhere else. And all that's been given to you by the hand of God. And as the Lord had said these things, he tells them this. Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. He said, that you may know. That I may know. That they may know. That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Amen. Nobody else. Just tell me again. Tell me tomorrow. I'm going to come back next Sunday. Tell me again. I came to know nothing among you. I've determined to know nothing among you. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What else is better than that? What else do you want to hear? What could be better than that? Amen. I don't want anything else. That ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And now this. Here's a handful of purpose. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Now, isn't it interesting that when he said, thy sins be forgiven him, that man was still on the couch, just as paralyzed. But he was heaven bound. You can't take what happens in this world as a determinant for what's going to happen in the next world or what's going to happen when you die. This world is full of trouble. You are surrounded by trouble. We're troubled on every side. In this world, ye shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world, but you still got tribulations. And you can say, I don't think the Lord loves you. Yes, he did. He died for your sins. What more do you want? Well, I'm having a bad day. That doesn't mean you're going to hell. That doesn't mean I loved you yesterday, but I don't love you today. Maybe you don't love him as much today as you did yesterday. You ever think about that? I do. And you know what? I step all over my toes. You know what? I am not as good as I appear to be all the time. Surprise, surprise, right? Right. Okay, nobody amened it, but nobody said no either. All right, man. I'll pay you $5 for that amen, son. All righty. All right, now, you know, we ought to count our blessings. We ought to think about, you know, not just don't count your troubles, count your blessings. Don't look at the circumstances. Look at who has saved you from the worst of circumstances, and he can save you from this one. Just go to him in prayer. And so he says, I've forgiven you of your sins. But now rise up and walk. And because he rose up and walked, did not forgive him of his sins, but he rose up and walked because he was commanded to rise up and walk. So I say to us, are we paralyzed by fear, by discouragement, by circumstances, by the state of the world, by what they say on the news? We all, if that's all we listen to, we're going to be depressed every day of our life. You're paralyzed. Rise up and walk. Walk. Walk with Christ. Walk about Zion. Walk the truth. Walk with him. See, tell, count the towers. See, you are protected. Take up the bed. You've got the mastery over the thing that kept you through him. Because we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Rise up. Take up that bed. Walk. Not only that, go to your house. And then this man added something to what the Lord said to do. Now, I know old Baptists are like, oh, we don't believe you're not supposed to add anything or take away anything. Well, now, hold on just a sec. Just a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. He's going to add something. You know what he's going to add? He's going to glorify the Lord. That's a good thing to add, don't you think? If you're going to add anything to the church, add your glory of the Lord. Add your faith. Add your acknowledgement. Add your witness. Add your testimony. And go home and take it with you and glorify the Lord. Because that's what happened with this man. He said immediately, he arose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Good, good. He had a good day, didn't he? I mean, I think that's the best day of his life. I think that's the best day of his life until the best day of his life when he sees the Lord in glory. But right now, he's pretty close. He's in heaven on earth. He knows his sins are forgiven. He's had healing by the great physician. He's glorifying the Lord. My friends, I've been paralyzed too. I've been paralyzed by my own stupidity, by the things that I've done, by my own bad habits, and by, you know, just by listening to the wrong thing and not paying attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ or to the love and attention of my best friends in Christ. And yet the Lord smiles and forgives again. The Lord looks and gives me the unction of his spirit, and the power of healing is there. And I have been a blessed recipient of that. And I get on up here. Come here. I am going to lie in that bed again. I'm the master over that through the master himself. And I'm going home and I'm going to glorify God. And when I get home, I'm going to glorify the Lord. And I'm going to glorify the Lord so much, they're going to get tired of it. And they're going to get sick of it. Good. That means I'm finally doing something right for a change. And then it says, then they were all amazed. Yeah. Amen. They were all amazed. Not only that, and they glorify God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now, before I get to that, I wonder who the they were. You know, that last text, that they, it says they were all amazed. And the same folks that were amazed were also glorifying the Lord. Wouldn't it be neat? I can't believe that's the first time I ever said the word neat in a scripture, in a sermon. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be awesome? If it was the doctors and those Pharisees. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It just mentioned these people. Certainly possible. And it's a wonderful thought. Some of these arrogant, prideful people was healed of that. And now they're glorifying the Lord. And they say this: we have seen strange things today. That word strange is the Greek word paradox. Taken literally, that's literally the Greek word of strange is paradox. And I looked, it's the only time that Greek word is used in the Bible. Paradox is something you can't believe, but you can't deny. It's something that doesn't make sense, but it still happened. It's the most unpredictable of things, and yet it has transpired to you cannot deny that this is a thing that you saw. When you believed in the Lord, that was a paradox. When you see a man preach, that's a paradox. When you see someone take up their cross and follow the Lord, that's a paradox. When you feel the Spirit, that's a paradox. That's a strange thing. But that doesn't mean it's a weird thing. It means it's a wonderful thing of the Lord. Because I tell you what, my friends, I know how good church can be when it's all up to us. I know how good a sermon I can preach when it's just me. Good, all of a sudden, has left that sentence. And so has the word sermon. And you can put whatever you want to in its place, but it's not good and it's not a sermon. That's a paradox. It's a paradox for me to get up here to preach. Me, who doesn't like to be the center of attention, naturally shy, would rather just sit in the back and not let, and please don't look at me. That's me. That's my, I'm a bashful extrovert. That's a paradox. I really am. I love to be around people. I just don't want y'all to notice me. Go figure that one out. The Lord called a guy like that to preach his gospel. That's a paradox. That's a strange thing. You're seeing a strange thing today. Every time I see my brother preach a good sermon, that's a strange thing. I said that to his face. When we meet together like this and the Lord blesses us, that's a paradox. That's a strange but yet a wonderful thing. And sometimes a light surprises the Christian while he sings. Sometimes they stumble across a handful of purpose. Sometimes they get something from the Lord that they weren't looking for. Sometimes it's beyond what they've asked. Sometimes it's not what they asked, but it's exactly what they need. Sometimes it's a comforting feeling that all is well when everything around you says it's not. That is a paradox. When you ought to be afraid, but you're not. When you ought to think it's all over, but it's not. And even when it's all over in death, it's not over. Because your life begins in a glorious day. That's a paradox. To believe that is a paradox. Aren't you glad you do? Aren't you glad that your sins are forgiven you? And if it weren't for that, what else is there, my friends? God bless you. It's my prayer. I hope this has been good. I hope the Lord has been praised in it. Hope you've been edified. We'll sing a hymn. If you have a desire to come forward and take up your cross, this is a good, wonderful, perfect time to do it. And we will wait upon you as we sing a hymn. 325. All right, number 325 has